All right, welcome everyone. So before we start, can I just ask everyone to be able to turn off their phones so it won't disturb us for the whole class? All right, so let's do a meditation before we get going, because the meditation awakens what's really going on inside and opens up our desire for the wisdom to come down. So let's sit comfortably, and I want you to close your eyes. And I want you to remove from your mind everything that could potentially be bothering you. We shouldn't allow anything to upset us. Things will come into our minds. Satan will try to play games. This is our time to connect with the light of the Creator. It's our time to learn about ourselves, about our soul. It's a time that, based on what we desire or what we ask for, we can receive messages. You can only receive what you desire, what you crave. So what do you crave? Put it out there. Put out what it is that you need clarity about, that you need energy for. You are the vessel. You can receive whatever you want. You just have to be clear about the support that you need. Have a conversation. Start talking to the Creator. If that's hard for you, talk to your soul, because your soul is connected to the Creator. In that conversation, just ask in your own language, in your own way, I require this. I need that. I need help with. I'll just give you a moment to do that. And let's take it up a notch. More powerful than asking something for ourselves, your vessel gets expanded even more when you ask for somebody else. You're pretty familiar with people at your table right now. You know what they're going through. You know what their challenges are. You know what makes them upset. You know that it might even be you that makes them upset. Try to ask for them. Try to ask for a message for them. Try to feel what they're feeling. Feel what their soul needs. Not necessarily what they say, but what they really need for long-term happiness. Tonight's class is all about connecting to the soul. Connecting to the soul of other people, both living and who have passed away, which was the subject of last week. We get bribed by what people tell us and how they act and how they feel, sometimes we're not connected to what's really going on inside of them. Finally, think of someone else in your life who's not in this room. What do they need? Tonight, you will receive messages on all levels for yourself, for someone at your table, and for someone in the outside world who is close to you. And it might be in 3 days, it might be in 3 months, but by the connection you make tonight, you will have received the light and the energy to be able to help them when the time comes. All right, open your eyes. Let's start our class, all right? Let's everyone just stand up for one moment, just to get energy flowing through your body. Just stretch it out. Stretch it out. Put your hands up. Are you excited about tonight's class? All right, six people. I like it. All right, have a seat. Have a seat. I'll take those six. All right, let's continue. We were learning about the unseen world. It's so important to realize life isn't just about what I see. What is life not just about? What I see, it's not. There's so much. In fact, the Kabbalists say we only see 1% of the true reality. Isn't that amazing? 1%. that there's actually another reality that consists of 99% of what's actually happening. That's why we're not allowed spiritually to get reactive. When I get reactive, I'm reacting to the 1% of what I see, what I just heard, what I think is happening. And even though it looks and sounds and feels bad, it's only a fraction, a minute fraction. And 1% is just a number we use because it's comfortable. It's less than 1%. We're really not seeing what's happening. So when we learn reincarnation about what happens to the soul when it leaves this world, before it comes to this world, what's happening inside each one of our bodies, we're grasping the 99%. We're learning more. You're able to make more informed decisions about life. A big issue is most people don't fully love themselves inside. They don't feel 100% secure. They don't feel the light inside. All problems begin because we don't feel the light inside. We look for energy from other people. We become judgmental. We run our mouth. We become sarcastic. We become egomaniacs, or we cower in sadness, all because we're not comfortable with what's going on inside. We give all the time. We give to our spouse, we give to our children, we give to our friends. We try to give back in our careers. But as long as there's a void inside, which is represented by the tikkun, by that which needs to be corrected, as long as there's a void inside, every time we give, we're actually taking. Yes, there's a percent that's truly giving and truly caring. But most times we'll be governed by the emptiness inside. How do we know? For example, when are we most excited to give to someone? When we haven't fully earned them? Or afterwards, once we've already established that we love each other and you maybe get married and you live 20 years with each other, when are you most excited to give? Think about it. When are you most passionate to give? You're always thinking about giving, looking for unique, creative ways to impress them and catch them off guard and show them how much you love them. When? In the beginning. Why in the beginning? What? I would think the more you get to know them, the closer you get, the affinity, the love, now you know how much you want to give them and how excited you are truly to take. You get to learn about their negativity. You get to see them on their worst days and their worst moods. You actually get a better profile of what they need, and now you can really help them. Now you can really add value. Now you can really care. Doesn't that make more logical sense? So why are we excited in the beginning? I want to win them over. So really, why am I giving? For who? Yeah. For myself. I want to prove that I can do it. I want to show that I can make it happen. I want more energy. So I'm going to invest to get this energy. And once I got this energy, foot off the gas. That's the problem. Because I have lack and I want to fill it with this other person. And that's common. That's all of us. We're all the same way. All of us are in the same boat. The highest level is when I've worked on myself, which we are doing through these classes. We're removing another layer. We're finding a layer. It's, oh, I don't like what I see. Oh, it's uncomfortable. Oh, I'm stuck. Good. Push through. When you feel stuck in this process, it means you touch something. When you get upset, it means you touch something. When there's a class that upsets you, it means you touch something. Touch it, feel it, good. By changing it forever, you will have the light inside you. And you will be immortal. You will be powerful. You will be a channel. It will be the subject of our class throughout the hour. So, let's talk about souls first without bodies. Souls without bodies. It's a continuation from last week. We're going to learn about our environment and how our environment affects us. When a soul leaves a body, where does it go? So there are many options of where it might go. Usually it goes through a process of cleansing that can take up to 12 months. Depending on the negativity created by the person, there's a process of cleansing, of basically washing off the mud that the soul needs to go through. It can take 1 second, or it can take up to 12 months before its soul gets broken up and reincarnated again to come back to do its job. However, sometimes a soul can get lost or trapped in that process. Not to be scary, and we're not going to have a whole class about this, but it's just interesting to know that there are actual souls that exist in our world that need help, that need support. And the only way they can elevate themselves is by attaching themselves to another person and that person to do some kind of positive action. In Kabbalah, we call this soul dibuk. Dibuk. Can you say dibuk? Dibuk, just so you have it. Dibuk literally means like to cling. The problem with dibuk is dibuk is not a positive thing. We don't actually want these forces to connect with us. Why? Because when these souls connect with us, it causes us not to have the same control. It causes us to become different people. Have you ever looked in the eyes of an angry person? What do you see when you look inside the eyes of the soul of an angry individual? What do you see? You see hatred. What else do you see? Do you see the person? Do you see the person you were talking to and that maybe you loved all this time? In fact, the Kabbalists say when a person is angry, like truly angry with hatred inside, their soul actually leaves. The positive aspects of their soul leaves, and another soul comes. That soul is called a dibuk. It comes because it had negativity in its own life, and it looks for what it has affinity with. Remember, two things, they attract or they repel each other when they're similar. Two things, when they're similar, do they attract or repel? Attract. And when they're different, they repel. So when we get into a reactive state, especially an angry state, says the Zohar, the book of the Kabbalists, we actually start to attract souls that are lost to us. And then it's a downward spiral because what happens is a person feels like they don't have control. A person starts to have negative thoughts. A person actually loses a lot of the positive gifts, ideas. Can you really be a channel when you're angry? Can you really care? I mean, think about it. Think the last time you were angry. Did you feel like you had compassion or care or love? Or maybe you're an artist or a musician, or you're a surgeon or a doctor or a nurse or a teacher. Imagine you're a teacher and you just heard horrible news and you're really angry. You walk into the class. Do you feel like you flow with knowledge and information? The flow is cut because instead of attracting the light of the Creator through me, I'm attracting darkness. I'm attracting these souls that are negative. So we're not going to go deep into it. But the idea is, and they leave once we change our consciousness. Once we change our behavior, they can leave. And there's a whole class we can have about it, but it's not for tonight. I just wanted us to understand the unseen world. Now, there are positive forces. The positive forces are called ibor. Ibor. What's it called? Ibor. Ibor are actually souls that have finished their correction and come to help and assist us, or they come because they know we can help them elevate their soul even more. Ibor is very positive. When we attract Ibor, it's like that tingle down our back. It's when you feel like you have energy from nowhere. It's when you feel you have a gift out of nowhere. It happens usually after you do something very positive, very transformational. Like you really broke your nature and you can receive these positive forces, these positive souls. I actually try before I speak in any function to ask for help from positive souls to be able to come and help me, give me information, give me wisdom. It's almost like a guardian angel. And it's a way for us to communicate with positive souls who have left. If you feel there's someone very positive in your life that you loved, and they're physically not here, you can always ask for their help and their support and their assistance. And in fact, if you do positive actions like they used to do while they were alive, that's also how you receive their support and their essence. And it stays with you. These positive souls stay with you until when? Until what happens? Huh? Until they're reincarnated. Until they need to leave, right? So actually, some Kabbalists say that they stay with you even if they don't need you anymore. They stay with you as long as you are not reactive, as long as you are positive. You got to keep the streak alive. You got to keep a streak of not getting reactive. Once you lose it, you got to start all over again. So it's almost fun spiritually to realize I want to stay in proactive consciousness all the time. Yes, I connect to the light of the Creator, but you also attract these souls that expand your vessel, that expand your ability, that support and guide you, that whisper positive things in your ears, that tell you information when you need it, that tell you, hey, wait, don't go down here. Go do this direction. Don't say that. Were you ever about to say something to someone and like something stopped you from saying it? This is the support of the unseen world. And we can attract it when we are of that consciousness of the light of the Creator. All right? Let's go back to Dibuk for a moment. How do we protect ourselves from these negative forces? Did you know that like seances and stuff that involves like, you know, how do you say it? I don't even know how to say it, huh? The occult maybe. Things that try to access spirits and we have to be careful because all of this stuff is real. It comes from someplace. And oftentimes when we're trying to tap into stuff, we tap into the wrong thing. So besides being reactive, a person should be careful how they try to communicate. Another way is places that actually have negative energy. Cemeteries at night, it's not a place where the light dwells necessarily. Cemeteries are places that are devoid of the light of the Creator. It's bodies without souls. Drugs actually open a portal to a lot of negativity. And if you've ever been on an experience that wasn't so pleasant, you see things, you feel things, it's very real. I'm sharing that with you just so you have more knowledge and information. There's no right or wrong in Kabbalah. There's no good or bad. It's all about what we desire to connect with. And we have to be careful. We have to protect ourselves. We have to protect our soul and make sure that it stays pure. Because that's what will connect you to happiness. When we draw souls, when we draw dibuk, it's one of the reasons why we get sad. It's one of the reasons why we feel disconnected from ourselves, or we feel like we're not who we want to be. We have to protect what's going on inside. And part of finding the light inside is to know how certain situations in life might make us vulnerable. Sex and intimacy, we're going to talk about it in our next slide. But whoever we have intimacy with or sexual relations with, our soul actually connects with their soul. So you begin to share tikkun with a person you are intimate with immediately. Immediately. Let's say two people decided right now to come and make out in front of the whole class. Very odd thing that would happen. But let's say two strangers decided to make out. Actually, what they're doing is they're binding a spiritual contract where their souls come together and they start to share tikkun. That means if person A has a major issue with, I don't know, fear of, what? What'd you say? Fear of flying? All right, I'll take it. Person B would actually absorb person A's negative qualities. Isn't that interesting? Makes you think a little bit. Just a little. Just a little. Okay? Well, save the questions. Save the questions for a moment. Also, at night, the soul is more vulnerable. It's good never to be alone at night by yourself. Have you ever felt weird alone at night? It's very scary, right? Even if you don't think that there's an actual person that could harm you, those of you who are sensitive, you actually feel something's not right about me being alone. Because there are unseen things going on, and it's always good when you're with another human being. That unity creates protection. All right? Yeah, don't be scared. That's not the point. All right. So, all right. Do you have any questions about what we shared so far? One second. Go ahead. Let's get the mic. Let's start over there since you're closer. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Sarah.
I'm Sarah.
Are the Cohens allowed to go to the cemetery? Because my husband says he's a Cohen, he's not allowed to go.
All right, so you're bringing up a concept that I have not even brought up or taught in this sphere. All right, so I have to just explain it for everyone so it's practical. Okay, so should we go there? Are we going there? Do I have a permission from our studio? So Sarah, right? What Sarah's asking is, there are people who have, since the beginning of time, there's different souls that come from different soul roots, okay? There's from one account, it says that there's 613 different roots where souls can be drawn from. So one channel of a lineage of a type of soul is what's called a Kohen. Often those are people with the last name Kohen, but often not. It means that they have a unique energy of mercy, of healing. They actually have like a healing power, Kabbalistically. So the Bible tells us that souls that come from this lineage should be extra careful to go into cemeteries because cemetery is a place of judgment and they have a lot of mercy and the energies don't mix. So generally speaking, again, this is not practical for 99.9% of the people in this room and in the world. But it's interesting historical information. And it's also interesting to know that each one of us comes from a different soul root. We have different gifts, different abilities, different unique talents. It says that some people come from soul roots that have to do with the feet, like very talented with their feet. Some people are very clumsy with their feet, right? There's, you know, people who are very skilled with their hands. Some people very, like, they don't know what to do with their hands. Some people have an amazing voice. Some people don't. Some people can hear, can understand, have compassion. Some people are very blocked. All of this relates to different soul roots that we come from and has to do with our tikkun in this world and how we bring light to this world. Okay? So, actually, thank you for your question. It has a... Talk to me privately afterwards and I'll let you know. I need to know more details. All right. Yeah. Oh, wait. Let's start. Yeah.
You mentioned about asking for support for these positive souls. I was just wondering why ask them for support if you can just ask the light?
Ask the light of the Creator.
Yeah, why do you need any other support?
Great question. I was actually thinking about that a couple of days ago, and I realized, what do I like to do? I do both, because I'm not sure what the answer is. I mean, I can give you an answer, but I wasn't 100% sure. So I thought to myself, I'm always asking the light of the Creator for help because you got to go to the source. Sometimes you ask other souls for help because the Creator works through His creation. When we say, Creator, help me, it's not that the Creator speaks to us. The Creator speaks to us through modalities, through people. I've seen many times someone says, Creator, give me a message. And someone comes and gives a message, and they don't like the message. They no, I'm waiting for the Creator. You. It's like we block the person because we don't like the message. The Creator talks through people, through souls, through our creation, through animals, through trees, through everything. Everything in this world has power and has energy. So when we're saying, ask the Creator for help, it's like we're activating the energy from the source. When we're asking souls that are special for help, it's like we're activating the energy to come through its creation. Does that make sense? So, wonderful question. All right, Storm, yeah.
You said, is this on?
The microphone?
Hello. Oh. You said, you know, you can absorb the other person's tikkun. If they have a negative attachment on them, can we absorb that through them as well?
Yeah, so for sure. So obviously there's level of intimacies. There's kissing. There's emotional connection. There's intercourse. Intercourse is the highest level when the souls connect. It takes time often to remove the effects and the residue of the person. Right? How many times we've ended a relationship and we want to move on, but we can't get that person out of our mind, out of our heart, out of our soul. It's because there's a conflict there. Their energy is there. Oftentimes I tell people in relationships, slow it down, not for any spiritual or religious reason or righteousness. Slow it down because why do you want all of this mixture of energies to be inside you? And often people intellectually understand what I'm saying, but to physically understand and feel it, it's a feeling of simplicity. Have you ever looked at a child and said, wow, you know, your life is so simple. You're so pure. It's like they have so much joy. It's like they don't worry. It's because they don't have the mixture. They haven't polluted themselves yet. When we can go back to a state of innocence and purity if we just start watching what we put inside of us. You know, we're so worried about what we eat, but we don't realize, I'm going to show you in a moment, what you look at becomes part of your soul. What you listen to becomes part of your soul. Who you become friends with becomes part of your soul. Who you marry becomes the biggest part of your soul. Who becomes your business partner becomes part of your soul. So if you're going to go to a party tonight, that environment, you absorb that. That stays with you. Some Kabbalists share actually how certain things stay for a day, a week, 7 years. So it's very fascinating when you go to the depths of Kabbalah, you realize, wow, I'm not going to make myself toxic. The same way we're not going to drink or eat something that's toxic for our health, how long does something toxic stay in the body? If a person gets mercury poisoning, how long does the mercury stay in their body? And how hard is it to get it out? So spirituality is the same way. We have to be super careful. Often we make commitments from a place of neediness and insecurity and fear, and then we take on their debt, and we find ourselves paying the debt for a long time. We're not ourselves anymore. So it's about getting back to who you are. Oneness. That was the original purpose of religion and spirituality. Connecting to the most powerful version of you. The pure you. The pure, innocent, honest, loving, caring, sharing you. Some people tell me it's impossible. I don't think I can ever change. It's nonsense. I have seen miracle after miracle after miracle of people who you thought they were the worst human beings become the most loving human beings. I saw a person who was so sharing, so loving, and so caring after just a year studying Kabbalah at the Kabbalah Center. And when I got to know him, I found out, I don't know if I'm allowed to share it, but I found out he was part of the mob. He had killed people. He had done horrible things. And he found Kabbalah and he realized, wait a minute, this is more pleasurable. Being with the light is actually more pleasurable than being with a criminal organization. Because in his belief system, he was getting a lot of energy doing that. And then he said, wait a minute, no. And he cried to me all the time that he wants to change. And he's transformed. And he said he never thought he would transform. And he felt the light. So it's about going back to the virgin soul state. That's what correction is. And what's waiting for us is like mind-blowing pleasure. We've all tasted it. Some of us experience it more than others. But that's the exciting reward. Yes, let's get the microphone.
Hi, I'm Nicole. I was wondering, when you were saying that when my grandma just recently passed, and when...
Who passed?
My grandma. She passed in May, beginning of May. And you said parts of her... First, she's got to go through the process, so I'm wondering, like, how painful is this? And I'm like worried about the process that she's going to have to go through. And then second, when she's reincarnated, does your soul or your energy keep getting smaller and smaller if pieces of you break off? Like,
no, because energy is immortal. If I take a candle and I light 40 other candles, does something happen to the first flame? Does it get smaller? Mm-mm. No, it just keeps expanding. It becomes infinite. So you can always have whatever connection you want with your grandmother. If you want to make the process for her easier, we talked about it last week. The children and the grandchildren have the most powerful effect on the soul. So if you know this wisdom and you know spirituality, there are ways to help elevate her soul and bring light to her soul. Number one, through your own spiritual work. Like tomorrow when somebody upsets you, pause, what a pleasure, light to my grandmother. Like that's what you need to be thinking. Mm-hmm. You are actually helping her soul. If that gives you motivation to pause next time, it's because you help her soul.
Mm-hmm. And then I had one other question too about the relationship thing. It's been over a year now since I've been with my ex, and we haven't talked in about 4 months. And I, you know, don't want to go back there. I've moved on, and yet I think about her every day. Like, I'm just almost tormented by it. Like, I just can't, I don't know how to really, how do you release that energy?
Yeah. It's a whole nother class. It's a whole nother class. Number one, it starts with a decision to let go. Because all of us in this room are very powerful. I know if you want to make a decision, if you make a decision about something, you'll execute it. The hardest, the spiritual work is getting to a place you make a decision. You haven't made a decision yet to leave her.
I feel like I have, though. I'm like, I'm done no more. I don't want...
We've had this conversation before with other students. I feel like I have is different than I've... Right? We all know. We all know when we have. Like, have you made a decision not to kill anybody?
Yeah, I think... Well, I mean, I haven't thought about it.
Yeah, okay. It's not... Because your decision is very strong. You made a decision, you're not going to kill anyone. It's a very strong decision. It's like, we've all made that decision here that we are not going to rob a bank or kill someone. But we haven't made a decision often to end a toxic relationship. Because we're not 100% sure. You're not 100% sure that that's the right thing or that's a good thing. There's still parts of even her inside you that aren't letting you do it. So even after tonight's class, it's going to become easier because now you know the name of the enemy a little bit more. You know now that you have a piece of her inside, mm-hmm. and it's okay to actually release, let it go. Tell the creator, you don't care how painful it is, you want to be done with it. You want to move on. Mm-hmm. And you also have to stop actions that you do surrounding it that hold on to her. If you hold it, like if you have stuff that belongs to her, it's a problem. Mm-hmm. If you research her, it's a problem.
What about pictures on Facebook? Delete them?
I'm not saying delete them, but if you have a way that you take energy from her, so how can you release energy when you take energy? Mm-hmm. Really think about it. Even when you ask her how she's doing, you start the process over again.
Mm-hmm. No, I don't. We haven't.
No, it's okay. So you don't have to explain it to me. I'm just saying all stuff to think about. This is mm-hmm. something that after this week, you'll come back next week and go, I identified a couple of things. Mm-hmm. I just want you to think about it.
Or even like people, I'm like, are there certain people I shouldn't hang out with because it almost brings me back there. It makes me think of her and we weren't that close anyways and I almost want to don't hang out with her.
I'm not sure. Mm-hmm. But once you make the decision, then you'll know. Very strong decision. Do we all know what I'm talking about when I say a decision? Do you know when you've made a decision? We all know what it's like once we made that decision. It's like you don't even care anymore. You're done. You moved on. It's a very powerful place. And the negative forces and the opponent does not let us make decisions in life. Right? The opponent wants us always to be spread out all over the place. That's his game. Focus, decision, commitment, even if you're not sure it's right, but you make a decision, the light will show you what to do. Mm-hmm. You'll get the strength. The strength. Okay?
Thank you.
Great. Yes. Let's go to the back.
I'm Will. I was just wondering, so on maybe a basic level, like less spiritual, but what we're talking about, it's more just be careful who you surround yourself with, and because who you are is who you, like who you hang out with is kind of who you are.
Yes, we're going to get to it in a moment, but you're going to see actually how people pretty much make up who we are.
Okay, yeah, that was just my question. I just wanted to fundamentally
Absolutely.
Understand.
All right, okay, let's save the rest of the questions. We get some more content, okay? Let's go. All right, our environment. How do people affect us, right? How many of you want to know how people affect us? Raise your hand. All right, I'm sure all of us would like that. Okay. When you are looking to receive, you lose your protection. You become drained of energy by your surrounding. Every time in life you are looking to receive energy, receive a compliment, receive a thank you, receive an apology. How many of us are still waiting for an apology? From someone or something from 20 years ago? From your father, from your sister, from your girlfriend that cheated on you in middle school? Still, it's lodged. I'm waiting. Sometimes you go on Facebook, you see the person, and something comes up like you want energy from them. You need energy from them. You walk into a party, an area, all of a sudden, what gets activated? I need, or I'm here to give. Every time we are looking to receive, we actually connect to the negative parts of people, and we become drained of our energy. Because we're no longer the light. Are you the cause or are you the effect? It's the only question you need to ask yourself all the time. Are you the cause or the effect? When you're upset, you're just being the effect. That's why we need to transform it. But if I'm always the cause of my emotions, cause of my decisions, cause of my feeling, sometimes we need to feel pain. Sometimes we need to feel pain of what we did or pain that we caused somebody or pain that somebody else is feeling. But you should feel it when you choose to feel it. Not when it's chosen upon you and you feel guilt and you're worrying. You choose it. We talked about this. At night, before you go to bed, when there's nothing else to do, choose to feel the pain of what you did to this person and how you want to change. That's proactive. That's amazing. You are in control of yourself. Whenever you do something that causes you to lose control, good or bad, you're disconnecting from the light. Getting overly excited about stuff is a way to disconnect from the light. Do you remember the last time you got overly excited about something? Maybe concert tickets that somebody gave you to your favorite concert, and it was free, and it was this, and it was that. Ah! Or they gave you a gift. They wanted to take you somewhere. Someone gave you an amazing compliment. Someone you liked for a long time likes you. Somebody gave you a purchase order that was huge, 20 times bigger than you ever had for your company. One second. I was with somebody the other week, and she was telling a story of how she was building her company, and she said, and then she got the purchase order from Target, a store that wanted to carry her brand. She said, I still have the text. Not the text, I still have the email. Frame the email, hold on to the email, look at the email. It's very nice, but we have to ask ourselves, cause, effect. Well, Paul, amazing. I appreciate what blessing from the Creator. I'm going to use this only to bring light to the world. But who are you controlling Target, or is Target controlling you? You understand? Job interview. I was at a function this week, and people had to give presentations. And there's a woman sitting next to me, and she's like shaking right before her presentation. She doesn't know that I do this, and we didn't know each other. And she looks at me, and she says, why am I so scared? She's getting in front of like a bunch of important people. And we started talking. And what we spoke about, without saying it's Kabbalah, all this, you're scared when you want to receive something from someone. You're scared because you're going up on the stage to take from these people. You want their money. You want them to like your company. You want them to invest in you. You want their approval. That's why you're frightened out of your mind. You don't have the light. And when you don't have the light, you become scared. It says that after Adam sinned, which is a code, he He was with the light. He had the light. And then Satan came. He fell. He made a mistake. He was reactive. He lost all the light, and then he became scared. Fear comes when we aren't acting like the light, when we're acting like the vessel which we're looking to receive. So all fear comes from. All insecurity comes because at that moment you're looking to take something. However, told her, go up on the stage. You don't need anyone. She said, but I need their money. I said, you don't. If you think you need their money, then you are not the light. You are here to give value. You have a product to give. You need, the only thing we're allowed to need is the light of the Creator. That's where we want to get to. That's how you're going to break all your fears and insecurities. You don't need a woman. You don't need a man. You should desire to be within a relationship, but you don't need. It's a nuance that we have to catch. I desire and I want to be in a relationship so I can give. Sometimes I ask people, why do you want to be in a relationship? They say, because I want someone to give to. Wrong. What you really meant to say was, you want someone that you can take from. And give to, yes. But give so you can take. It's more than need. One thing we know for sure. If you are the light, you'll get everything you want. We know it. There's no be the light but still feel dark. Until you are the light, no, if you are the light, there's no way the darkness can exist in your life. There is no way. No way. And one way we know we are not the light is if we are looking to receive. It says that a person's aura, energetic aura of the light, begins at about 86, if I'm not mistaken, that's the number, 86 inches in radius around us. That's our energetic field. And people puncture that, excuse me, we puncture that when we are looking for energy from other people. I remember going to an event once. It was New Year's. It was in Las Vegas, and it was, I don't know, 12 years ago. And I got invited to a party. I only knew the host of the party, and I knew nobody else. And everybody looked like they were cool, right? So I'm walking in. I'm in Vegas. I'm like, what am I doing here? I only came for this guy. And I'm sitting there, and I'm like, and then all of a sudden, what do you feel? Feel a little insecure. And then I'm like, all right. So next thing I know, then we have to sit at the dinner table. And I'm sitting at a dinner table. Everybody knows everybody else. I know nobody. I know nobody. I'm sitting there like this, looking like an idiot. Straight up idiot. And you start to feel like you, and then you remember, you have choice now. Are you the light? Are you the vessel? So I tell myself, I am the light. I'm sitting there. I'm giving you a practical example, a way that it worked for me, that hopefully will work for us. We're in similar scenarios. I'm sitting there. I'm telling myself, and you have to feel it. You feel something inside you, you know? You either feel lack or you feel, no. You have to tell yourself like a mantra, I am the light. I don't need anything. Here to give. Satan says, start a conversation. Satan says, tell somebody you're a Kabbalah teacher. Try to help somebody. Go find the person you know. Go find the person you know. So am I giving or am I taking? Go find the person I know. Why am I going to find him? Because it's comfortable for me. So sitting there, all of a sudden, this girl sitting here, she's having a conversation and she looks at me and she goes, what are you doing? So I'm not doing anything. She's like, what do you do? I'm like, teach. She's like, what do you teach? It's a Kabbalah. She's like, Kabbalah? I kid you not. She goes into her purse. She pulls out a red string. She says, can you tie this for me? We haven't even learned about the red string yet. It's not about the string. It's about where it comes from and how it's infused with positive consciousness and energy. So, okay. I said, okay. So I'm tying the string. And here's the other Satan coming. Satan's coming. Ah, you see? In fact, don't even need her energy. Don't need it. Don't need it. Just tie the string. Just give. Tie the string and move on. And then it starts. the ripple effect. What's going on? What's that? Can I have one? What's going on? What do you do? And it's a constant, but what was exciting was to see that just for a moment of transforming insecurity into something more positive, to being the cause, for a moment, it switches the energy. And then Satan comes and tries to get you in other ways. Satan comes and tries to get you to enjoy the energy. That somehow he wants you to be the effect. So you have to be the cause in the beginning. And when it works, you have to be careful to be the cause until the end. Does that make sense? Because a lot of people do Kabbalah in the beginning and they see miracles. And then they become reactive afterwards once they get all these miracles. Then they say, wow, I got all these miracles, thank you. And then they go back to their old lifestyle. No, no, no. You have to be careful in the beginning, in the middle, and in the end. All right? Before we continue, I want you to think in your own life, where is a place that you feel you are the effect and not the cause? That you are looking to receive from someone else's energy, or maybe you're waiting for something to happen in your life, or you're playing the waiting game. You're waiting for an apology, a thank you, someone to come back in your life and say they're sorry, they never meant it, whatever. Try to think of it and share. I'll give you 2 minutes to do so. All right, everyone. All right. Any questions before we move on? Yes, please. Let's get the microphone. Please.
I think I misunderstood the concept because for me, I guess we're constantly looking to receive.
Yeah.
We're like 100%, even now. Even yeah. I came all this way to just gain some knowledge.
Yeah.
To receive some knowledge. Yeah. Then everything we do, we eat to get, like...
Yeah, it's amazing, right? We're always in a reactive state of looking to receive. It's good to desire. Desire is different than looking to receive. Desire is, I want. I want to be successful. I want love. I want happiness. I want wisdom. When we did a meditation, I want answers. Once you want... You need to want, and then you need to let go and only give. It's an amazing concept I learned when I first came to study Kabbalah that blew my mind. If you're always wanting, 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 it's a problem because you're never acting like the light, so you can never get anything. When you're in a relationship and somebody just wants, 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 do you feel like you want to give? No. But what's the secret? To want their love and then let go and just give them love. That's actually how you receive. It's a very advanced Kabbalistic concept that we're making simple now. You need to have a desire and then let go and be a giver, a creator, a value adder all day. In fact, if you try to go and take and receive what you want, you'll never get it. It will enter, remember the ping pong ball? It will enter and it will be rejected from the vessel. Try. Try to, you want, let's say, all of us want a compliment. We all want to be loved, right? We all want to be loved. Let's agree on that. Now, go try to get somebody to love you. See what happens. Hey, can you tell me what you like about me? Can you love me? I really want you to love me. In fact, you feel repelled from it. How does a person get respect? By constantly running away from respect. By constantly running away from respect and giving respect to others. Then he gets all the respect. It's amazing. But you know people who always try to get respected by telling you what, like, who they are and what they do and this and that? All of a sudden, you don't respect them anymore. It's a paradox, but that's the reality. You need to want and let go. Now, another tikkun many people have is they don't want. So they could be giving all day long and sharing, but because they don't want, they don't have the capacity to receive the light. So they always have chaos as well. But it looks like they're such nice people, but they don't really want. This is a deeper concept. So most of us fall in one or two categories. Either we don't want, which is the worst tikkun. It's the most negative because the Creator can't even give you. Or we want, and we're always looking to receive. Then we also don't get. You need to want everything and then let go and share and add value. So how am I going to be happy? When am I going to get? Don't worry. You see, you're thinking too much. When will it come to me? Who will give to me? When will I find true love if I'm helping everyone up? It's a paradox, but trust the light. You'll see. You'll see. All right. Great. One more question? No? Gabe.
Thanks for sharing your example about the Vegas party because, you know, it's good to know that even you have those struggles. And I was thinking when you asked...
It's good to know I go to Vegas.
It's good to know you go to Vegas too. But I was thinking when you said to think of an example, you know, a lot of things came through my mind that there's not just one thing. And sometimes in any situation, I, you know, have the strength and I can be very much a giver. And then sometimes I'm thinking about receiving and not even realize I'm thinking about receiving and lose my protection. I was wondering if you can recommend anything so that you can have your consciousness more on the side of the giver. As opposed to receiver.
So it's a great question. How many of us? My teacher Rav Berg said the greatest strength of a human being is how long they can keep their consciousness high. That's a measure of strength of a human being. Strength is not anything besides how high you can keep your consciousness consistently. Some of us can do 5 minutes. Some of us can do an hour. Some of us are good 3 hours. Some of us after class 1 hour we're like unstoppable. Like, we are like a walking, like walking Messiah. Like, you know, we're like, joom, joom. We got like sparks coming out of us. And then after an hour, we go into receiving mode. We become like this walking, like, angel. And then we start thinking, do people recognize that I'm a walking angel? And from that moment, it goes down. Right? It's so tricky. Satan is coming at every angle. So, keeping the consciousness up is huge, and if your desire in life, your number one desire is to keep your consciousness up, you'll do it. If your number six desire is to keep your consciousness up, you'll keep it up for maybe an hour or two a day. What's number one? I know people who their number one job is to always look good. Like, it's their number one desire. And guess what? They always look good. It's amazing. Their hair always looks good. Their clothes always look good. Like, if there was even a stain, they would run home and change immediately. Right? If their hair got messed up, immediately they would go get their hair done again. When our consciousness falls for even a second, do we stop everything we're doing and immediately run home and maybe study or connect to something positive? Consciousness falls, oh, well, I guess I'll wait till class in 5 days. Right? But people, when even the hair, imagine you blow dry your hair and it gets all frizzy. You just walk around with frizzy hair? It's like puff. Yeah, it's got frizzy. You would like go get a hat, you would go do, you fix it, you put in a bow, you figure it out. Because you don't want to walk around with frizzy hair, but we don't mind walking around with low consciousness. It's all about what's important to you. What's important? What's important? All right, like someone says, oh, you got a piece of spinach in your teeth. Oh, really? Oh, all right, well. I mean, when I go, I have a mirror at home, in like 7 hours, I'll figure it out. Right? Oh, my God. Oh my, it's me. You stop everything. You could be in the middle of like the most, stop everything to get the spinach out of your teeth. It's true, right? Because beauty is important to us. It's, beauty is like number like 2 or 1, and like consciousness is like 7 or 8. Like, it used to be like 46. Started studying Kabbalah, it's like going up in the ranks. Right? We got to get it up there. We got to get it up. Get it up. All right, let's go to the next one. You bind, all right, question for you. A friend, what is the Kabbalistic definition of a friend? A friend is someone who raises your consciousness to be with the light. That's a friend. Most people at best have one friend, maybe two. That's good, that's success if you have two friends. Everybody else is not a friend. Call them an acquaintance. Call them an associate. A friend is someone who elevates your consciousness. Now, You will always receive the soul of a person you depend on energetically. Depend on. So be careful who you depend on for energy. You receive a piece of their soul. I have many people in my life, but I know if I depend on them, my consciousness will go down. So instead, I'm there to give to them. I'm there to help them, but I don't need anything from them. But my wife is someone that I obviously depend on. When you choose to marry someone, you choose to create circuitry. So choose wisely, because whoever you choose, you're choosing their soul to be united to your soul. You gotta get to know the person, by the way. I see it so many times. People commit without knowing the person. You don't know a person until you see them at their worst. You have to take time. You have to ask the light to show you. Don't be afraid. Because once you marry the person, you see it. You see all of it. You see the sadness. You see the guilt. You see the depression. You see the neurotic. You see the narcissism. You see it all. And it's fine. I'm not saying don't be with someone if they have negativity. But assess the whole picture before you unite forces. Ask yourself, is this something that I can be with, that I can support, that I can love unconditionally? Get to know the person. A friend, many of us have friends and they're draining our energy. You can keep them in your lives, but stop looking for them to give you energy. Don't say, I'm going to have fun tonight with that friend, because they will drag you down. Just think about how you manage your time. Remember, if they're dragging you down, it means that they're dragging themselves down. Because when a person causes another person to go down, they go down too. Sometimes we say, but how can I? I've known them for 30 years. No, that's baloney. You have to know why people live in your life, and it's also good for them if you have an appropriate relationship. So it's important to analyze what's going on. A lot of us, our consciousness falls because we decide to surround ourselves with people that's toxic. We leave after 2 hours and we're drained. And all that person did is complain, be sarcastic, be negative. And then you might say, well, I'm there for them. If you're there for them, it's different. Go with the intention of being there for them. But don't now open your heart and share your secrets and ask for advice. Because then you depend on them. Do that with your teacher. Do that with a mentor. Do that with someone you respect. Do that with your husband or your wife or whoever. But if there's a person who's a lower consciousness, go out to dinner. But go with a force field of energy and go with giving consciousness. And they may say, you're being so obnoxious. Why don't you also complain with me? I don't want to. I feel like I don't want to have chaos. Oh, so you're choosing happiness over me? Yes. Yes, because if I'm happy, you'll be happy. The world will be happy. We can't feed each other's chaos. Raise your hand if you feel you have at least one person that helps you feed the chaos. Raise your hand. We all do. I do. We all do. It's important. It's a gradual process. Family is a different story. We're not going to get into it now. But we're talking just about people we can choose to be in our lives. Family, it's a whole other tikkun. All right. Sex and intimacy, we talked about it. Friends should be people who elevate your consciousness. We talked about it. What you study or learn from, what you study or who you learn from enters your soul. Okay? The books you read, the classes you listen to, the TV you watch. Again, I'm a big fan of TV. I love my favorite shows. I watch shows. But always just what goes into your eyes stays there. Sometimes I watch a show, I have to literally spend 10 minutes scrubbing my consciousness. That doesn't mean I'm not going to watch the show. But you got to scrub. You got to scrub. I didn't watch Game of Thrones for like 5 years. I didn't know what I was going to get. And then I said, all right, I'm going to go and I'm going to watch and I'm going to scrub after. There's a little scrubbing you got to do in the beginning. And then it gets better, all right? But the idea is just don't go, okay, be conscious. Oh, I just listened to people dropping the F-bomb like 3 times every 5 seconds. It stays in your mind. The same way we don't want our children to watch violence or play video games of killing each other because we know it's going to affect them, it affects us too. It stays in our mind. We don the personalities of these of TV and social media, whatever it is. And we need to be in the world. We need to be effective. We need to be amongst people. We need to be in society. We need to be in the trenches. But go with power and strength and knowledge. And just start to say, all right, maybe I'll add more positive to my mind. Oftentimes, if I'm in a negative environment, right when I come home, I'll study. I'll study because I need to put something positive back in. I don't want just the negativity to simmer, especially if I go to sleep. It simmers in the subconscious. You have dreams about it, and it enters your essence. What you look at with your eyes enters the soul. We talked about that, protecting the eyes. And the final thing is when you judge someone. We're going to leave that for next week. Judgment, it's a lot of fun. We're going to learn all about that. Questions you have before we wrap up for tonight? Gabe.
What do you mean you go study?
That's like one of those planted questions. Use study of Kabbalah or any spirituality or anything that's positive as your form of study, right? I have my go-to books that I know once I read them or classes or audio or video elevates my consciousness. That's it. At the very minimum, you have these classes. You'd be shocked if you just pop in one of these tapes or even the class you just heard, listen to it for 3 minutes. Wow, it's going to elevate you. Carry a book around. Carry a spiritual book around. Carry a self-help book around. Carry something that has positive reinforcement. The positive pushes out the negative. Your mind will just be whatever you put inside of it. Okay? Great question. Yeah, Alana.
Hi, I'm Alana. So one of the things I've been really thinking about this past month is what's the difference between discernment and being judgmental? There's been a few people in the past month that I've met, and when they're talking, I'm like, ooh, red flag.
Right.
Ooh, that's not going to be good. And I don't know if that is me being judgmental or me seeing where they are and saying, that's not for me.
We're going to discuss it next week, but if I see something and I say, wow, I don't want that, that's fine. The problem is if you ever think you're better than the person and you start to get pride from it, or you start to give them evil eye and you get negative about it, and then you start telling other people about it, then it becomes judgment. But discernment is allowed. The Bible talks about it a lot. I discern that this is not for me, I move on. It's very innocent. It's very much, I need to protect myself because that's what the Creator wants me to do. But when we get into the, look at this guy, you know, I would never do that. And then you start talking about it and you start getting upset with them. Then it becomes judgment. Great question. Oh, so anybody who hasn't asked a question? All right, one of the girls here. By the way, for those of you who don't speak, we love to hear you speak. Because everyone has something to add, value to share. We want to get all the personalities involved to help all of us. Yeah.
Hi, I'm Jasmine. So I was wondering about the trapped souls. Are those kind of like ghosts? And also, why don't they reincarnate? Like, why are they trapped?
They're trapped often because of something negative they did or how they left the world. So it's like a torture for them. And the only way they can elevate is by connecting with another person. Yeah, you can use the term ghost, I guess. The Kabbalists don't really use it. Use the word like a spirit. But, I mean, I guess that's probably the closest thing we can say.
But even if they're positive, why are they?
No, positive is different. Positive is a positive spirit that has a positive intention. The dibuk, the negative one, causes you not to have control anymore. So they take control. Sometimes multiple personalities, person doesn't have control over their desires, their feeling, rage, it takes over. It can be the addition of additional souls.
Okay. Yeah. But why doesn't the positive ones reincarnate? Like, why are they there?
Oh, the positive ones often, because they're so positive, then they only need like one or two more things to do. Oh. So instead of coming back for the whole thing all over again, they attach, they get the correction, and they leave. So they look for people who are about to do something positive, and they attach themselves to it. Which is also another thing. If you have the intention of doing something positive, and you want to do something positive, those souls actually attach you and give you the strength to do it. That's why the desire and intention is so powerful. Even if you don't know how you're going to do something positive, start to do it. Then those positive souls recognize you're doing it. Then they attach themselves because they want to piggyback on you doing it. And they give you the strength to do it. That's actually how it works. Very successful people often don't know how they're going to do something. They just move forward. And then it happens. All right, guys. All right. So that's it for tonight, everyone. Enjoy. We'll see you soon.